Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Show Me the Way, sponsored by Spencer Fain, LLP. This is a podcast about the M&A experience, succession planning, and exit planning. I am your host, Dave Sider. We're going to take a little different journey today. It's only me, boys and girls. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Dave Sider again for Show Me the Way podcast. This is episode 36, and those of you who have listened to me in the past will know right away this is going to be a little bit different show because I am going to be talking to you without introducing a guest. Why am I doing that? It is near the end of 2023, and actually, it is December 2023, and I thought it was time to look at a review of the year, what I've seen has transpired, and what I see is coming up in 2024. To share with you, at this time of the year, I always sit down and start a strategy session to figure out where I think I've been and where I'm going. So without having the benefit of an economics degree, a tax degree, an accounting degree, a financing degree, any sort of insight that otherwise might allow me to claim some insight that I could share with you based upon either training or skills, I will endeavor to share with you what I've seen this year and where I think we're going. Like all of you, I read various periodicals. I do it every day. I'm kind of religious about that, trying to understand where businesses, frankly, are going. And also to be able to reflect if there are any lessons learned this year. So with that background, let me share with you some thoughts. And first of all, I want to thank you all for listening in. We've had a real 360 conversation with various guests this year. Very enjoyable. I learned a lot. I hope you folks learned a lot as well. At the end of the year, what I take away from the experience in talking with the guests, it's still very difficult to be able to operate at the highest level any business. And that's true whatever the year is. There's no question about it. In the context of the year 2023, things started out slow in my experience. And I'm talking specifically as I would relate to succession planning, exit planning, estate planning, and M&As. But right about, and I projected this early on, right about the time all of the income tax returns and financial statements were finalized, things started to turn. And it was at the point of late April that I received my first very significant letter of intent. Since that time, I have closed on 9 different acquisitions. So that's, you know, almost one a month. And one of them was at least a monster, as I would call it anyway. But a lot of what I call add-ons, people acquiring from the buy side, businesses to roll in or tuck in to their businesses. Some major sales of companies, people that were frankly retiring or being bought out, and some sales that were really done for estate planning. And I find it very interesting how it seemed to pick up momentum late in the year. And I think that somewhat reflects the economy. If we remember early on in the year, there was a great, great deal of uncertainty. For a variety of reasons, the stock market, interest rates, the thing on in Ukraine, general uncertainty, I think, in the minds of most individuals. But by the time summer rolled around, we were off and running again. We finished the year very strong, we being the United States. I think that there was great uncertainty going from 2022 to 2023, and I think we have been pleasantly surprised at the end of the day. The market's back. It's booming, which is a good sign, I think, for all of us, whether you're big into the market or not. It would appear now that interest rates may have stabilized and, in fact, maybe there will be a downward adjustment, although there's still some doubt and the jury is out on that. But I think we can certainly say as of 2023, things have, generally speaking, from an economic standpoint, improved. Let's talk a little bit about what I'm seeing as far as M&As for the year. A couple of years ago, and I'm saying 2019, 2020, until early 2021, still a lot of cash out there for people to buy businesses. And that is private equity groups and venture capital, as well as some strategic buyers. If we remember, venture capital groups are usually smaller groups of individuals that come together and throw money into a pot to go buy a business, if I can use that analogy, versus a private equity group, which is a more formal group that has sustained revenue and capital to back them and probably platform of borrowings. And then a strategic buyer, which would be someone that's in a business similar to the business that they're acquiring. This year, unlike a few years ago, what I've seen mostly is cash is not being given in the manner of taking out an owner. What do I mean by that? Whether it's a stock buy or an asset purchase. A few years ago, it would be all cash. Now, it is a function of giving some cash with what is known as a equity rollover, and or what that would mean for most of the transactions that I see is there would be a significant amount of money that would be given for the purchase of the business. There would be some money that could be earned based upon future performance of the business. And then finally, some of the ownership that the seller had would become ownership in the buyer's entity. In the past, I've seen earnouts being used as really a future forecast that would help a seller be more involved rather than not in the future performance of the business. This year, I'm seeing earnouts more as a way to make up a shortfall in the purchase price, which would work to the disadvantage, perhaps, in a manner of speaking, of the seller. There are no absolutes. That was just something that I saw for the first time, I thought, this year versus prior years. The rollover function is something that I've seen in prior years, but again, I sense that a lot of the buyers have been using rollovers as a way to make up a difference in what they would have paid a few years ago in all cash. They're holding back some of that cash in favor of giving equity based upon future performance. I think that was one of the big changes that I saw this year. You know, the good news is the valuation is the valuation. What I mean by that, whether it's EBITDA, CapEx, CapEx, Monte Carlo, whatever valuation formula, that doesn't really change as to how you look at a cash flow analysis, with the exception that the multiple that is tied to that valuation to get to a final potential value of the company. Those multiples change every year. I saw the multiples this year on the private side where I do most of the work go a little bit softer than they were in prior years, but not substantially so. And at the end of the year, I come to the conclusion that we've made it through this point in time in the economic cycle and that we're going to come out on the other side, I think, in very good shape. So let's talk about that a little bit. In 2023, the economy started out slow, but it picked up momentum in the latter part of the year. I think everyone would agree with that. There were, I think, very low expectations early in the year because they thought, they being the economists, people much smarter than me, thought a recession might be coming up. And that just simply hasn't happened. Now, we have had issues with China, AI, the Ukraine, most recently Israel, interest rates. We've also had a rise in the stock market. I think we're now at near an all-time high, if we're not at an all-time high here in December of this year. We've also still have a residual backlash due to the failure of some banks of a few years ago, although it appears that things are stabilizing there. I think those all lead me to conclude that we have better days ahead. But the question is going to be, What does that look like in 2024? Is it going to be dramatically better? In everything that I am reading, whether it's very positive, and what I mean by that is if we have some people that are pumping up what they think is a need for people to get back into the market, or if we're looking at some of the conservative people that are trying to keep or take a balanced approach, I think there's a real belief at the end of the day that we're going to do better, but it may be more of a plateau that we hit. We had an incredible third and fourth quarter for growth. I think actually it was third quarter that really took off. Fourth quarter 2023 slowed down a little bit. The thought process is that next year, as I glean it from various sources, there is going to be some continued growth, but probably GDP is not going to be as extraordinary as it was in the third quarter. There's going to be an interest or a need to look closely at interest rates, and that goes without saying. Most people still have to have, in running their business, the interest rates at a level that they can afford to borrow money. Certainly, they wanted a rate that's less than what they think they can get in return for borrowing that money. Is there going to be a cutting of interest rates? There are some rumors to that effect. I'm not really sure. I don't know how to diagnose it, but I'm watching that closely. The big thing that I did fail to mention about 2023, and that would apply as well for 2024, is inflation. Inflation has calmed down. I think we're all very excited about that. And I think that's going to continue, although maybe not at a rapid deceleration. But we think that that's still going to be a very positive deflation for 2024. At least that's my hope. I think at worst, we're going to have a little softer landing. I don't think people think we're really going to be in a situation where we're going to find ourselves in a recession. I think those days are over. Of course, people would tell you that's all subject to having some kind of cataclysmic event. And boy, I don't want a cataclysmic event to impact anybody or anyone's business. So given all of that, what could be additional issues that we would look at in 2024 that might impact any type of succession planning, exit planning, sale of a business, M&A, or the acquisition of a business? Certainly, regulation. The government is not going away. For next year, in particular, there is something called the Corporate Transparency Act that every business in the United States needs to comply with, and failing to do so can subject them to fines and penalties. And I'm sure all of you are going to be getting letters, if you own any kind of a business, laying out the need to comply with this act. And it is going to be something that both attorneys and accountants, I can speak from that vantage point, are struggling with. And it will be something, therefore, I think the businesses will be struggling with in complying with government mandates. The government isn't going anywhere anytime soon, and so we can anticipate a continuing need to understand what it is they expect of us. And I don't think the regulation is going to diminish anytime soon. Obviously, we've got an election coming up, but even at that, I don't suspect that any changes this year are going to come about if, for example, a Republican is elected into the White House. I think possibly there will be a slower start in 2023, but there will be some ramping up in 2024. I'd like to think that we're going to have more banking and lending options that might help enhance the growth of the marketplace. I can't say that at the end of the day that I have any insight that would lead me to conclude that. I do think that it's going to continue for most businesses the need to have lending, and they might look at things such as private lending. They might look at IPOs, which is anticipated to come back stronger than ever next year, and the possibility of factoring companies to be able to support the business needs in the upcoming years, not only 2024, but beyond that. So in light of the fact that in the next 30 years, there's trillions of dollars changing hands, thanks to the baby boomers, which I am one, who will be retiring at some point, that money has got to go somewhere. There will be, in my way of thinking right now, I have the possibility of 15 companies that might be going through a monetization event, meaning being sold, gifted, entering into joint ventures. I do expect that these business owners are going to be very dynamic and will anticipate wanting to do something next year. I think in the financial markets, I was reading the other day that registered investment advisors, I think it was something along those lines of 50% of all owners of RIAs in the next 10 years will be changing hands, be that a sale or an acquisition, most notably, probably liquidating their positions as they retire. In the financial services business, and specifically financial advisors, they're very, very top heavy. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I think we can anticipate that that type of analysis plays through to the rest of the businesses in the United States. There's just any number of people that are baby boomers that are getting ready to leave and go. And when I say leave, maybe they're retiring or maybe they're going into a second career. I recently spoke to business owners in San Diego. I'm of the opinion now, or I would like to believe, they're all going to live to be 100. That is, we can live to 100 if we're in reasonably good health, because we know through medicine, we know through the information that we garner from all sources, including trainers, that we have the capability to live far beyond what our immediate elders have been able to live to. And many of those are living close to 100. I don't think it's going to be, therefore, uncommon that a lot of the people now who are in their 60s are going to live to 100 and beyond. The question is, what are you going to do? I think it's going to be a struggle for people. I anticipate those people that are going to be retired are going to find something new and additional to do for the next 30 to 40 years. At the end of the day, I think we can also believe that most of the publicly traded companies, as I have reviewed various magazines and newspapers, are very, very bullish on 2024. Whether or not the economy is good or not, we know that there's going to be a change in the ownership of a substantial number of businesses in the United States. And knowing that, here are a few things that I would share with you that really apply across the board. Number one, in my experience, no business is ever ready to be sold. It is very rare that a business positions itself to get its best possible value. It is in everyone's best interest to look at their situation and call upon their trusted business advisor, but also to consider someone new to bring to the table to help analyze what they should be doing to make their business monetizable, that is, to be able to sell it, whether it's to a third party, whether it's to employees or insiders, or whether it's even to be gifted to families so that you can make the best possible decision. And how do you do that? Well, one of the places to start, and I did that with a client just today, is to look at both a valuation, but as well a cash flow analysis. A valuation will obviously tell you what someone thinks your business is worth. And by looking at that, you can then set an expectation for yourself whether or not you're going to get the kind of value you want from the sale of the business. And again, this is a report that is not based on anyone making an offer, but a third-party professional. And a cash flow analysis is needed because you want to know if you could sell it to somebody within the company, an employee or an insider, if you could self-fund it, would there be enough money to allow the employees to buy you out, whether it be through an ESOP or otherwise? So we want to get the business ready for sale, number one. Number two, we want to do a cash flow analysis and evaluation. I think it's always important to look at what I call a waterfall, and that is to say, it's good every year to say, if I were to sell my business today, how much money would I put in my pocket? And that's typically after everybody is paid, attorneys, accountants, paying taxes, you know, writing checks on any liabilities you may have guaranteed. What is the bottom line number that is going to go into my pocket as a possible decision or a point of reference as to whether or not you should be selling your business? Sometimes people will say, you know, I'm not really where I want to be. I need to work a little bit longer. I get that. It may be, too, that you want to accelerate that, and you might do some kind of either a capital raise or an IPO, or otherwise look for funding that will help you ramp up business so that you gain additional monies in order to be able to put your business at a place where it's going to perform at the highest level to give you the kind of return on investment that you want. There are a variety of tax solutions too, and I usually share with clients, I think the most important thing in any kind of a decision with an M&A is to look at what is the company valued at, what kind of cash flow is being spun off, number two. But number three, the taxes. Are there any way that you can do an analysis to figure out how to put yourself into the best situation in regard to taxes? In regard to taxes, no one said you had to pay all the taxes in the world. You can't evade paying taxes, but you can avoid paying certain types of obligations under the right guidance of a tax attorney or a tax accountant. There are various devices to look at. I'm sure that a lot of people listening have been told maybe they ought to move to Texas or Florida or Nevada and become domiciled there to get the best possible tax treatment, usually at the state level. There are also devices like a Nevada trust, what they call a NING, or a deferred sales trust, which I'm still trying to find the best way and under what circumstances that might be available. And the IRS is struggling with those mightily, I will tell you that. Or even a structured installment sale using annuities to help the process of being able to sell the business. All three of those items presuppose more often than not that you are selling your business and taking your proceeds over a period of time, 10 to 20 years, by example. And that may not be viable for some people. They need to have all the money now, but again, depending on whether we've got a sale of stock, which would be taxed at capital gains rate, or assets at, by and large, ordinary income rates. It's an important consideration. At the end of the day, the thing that I would ask you folks to look at in going forward is to analyze what are the best options for putting yourself in a position to win in beginning the process to determine whether or not I should be setting myself up to sell the business. Those rules have come into play every year since I've been practicing law. It's almost as if at the end of the day, you want to put into place a plan so that you have a direct line to the ultimate goal you want. And if any of you have read my book, it's in one of my chapters about a gentleman who designed his plan for his business when he first got into business. He planned to the point of his exit, and he executed and was able to achieve the goal he wanted or the time frame that he wanted. That is a lot of planning. That's unusual. I have not met very many people to do that. But what I've learned over the years is those that who plan a type of exit over a period of years, growth, sustainability, and then exit, are the ones that usually win and get the best possible results. It is about you, number one, identifying the goal that you want. Number two, designing the process or the methodology. And number three, making sure you have the right players in place to help you get there. I always ask people, when you're thinking about selling your business, is your business ready to be sold? How is a buyer going to value the business? Who can help me in this process? Is there a right time? Is the market right? Can I cope? And this is a big one. Can I cope with the changes on the horizon? That is the economy. Where do I think we're going? Which is part of the reason for this podcast today. Can your business survive and thrive without you or without a key customer? Would you be willing to stay on to help a buyer? Are there any potential deal breakers? And are there any alternatives to an outright sale? At the end of the day, what I found over the years is that there are five reasons you can't sell a company. One, you've never gone through the process, so you don't know how to do it. Two, the owner can change their mind as a seller. You might just say, I don't want to do that. Three, you're caught up in running the business and you can't focus on the sale. And I've seen this quite a few times. Four, there isn't enough information in order to make that decision. And number five, the company's performance changes drastically or dramatically from the expectations. That doesn't mean you should stop, but you would recalibrate, knowing that there are always going to be some challenges. When we say in the M&A process, you're always going to reach the point of deal fatigue. You're going to get to the point you're exhausted. It's just the nature of the beast. That's something different than the five things that I laid out. But those are the typical items that's going to cause you to say, I don't think I'm going to sell the business. It is important for you to know your business inside and out because the buyer is going to ask you that. You want to make sure you have all the information about your business that you're able to deliver up to a potential buyer. You're going to want to understand the value of your company and the different ways you can monetize, that is, get money for your business. And there are a lot of different ways that we'll talk about in this upcoming year. And it's best to get upfront and negotiate upfront with your professionals. Say, how can you help me look at this? What should we do? How long should it take? And what should it cost me? I don't think you have to go into somebody and say, we're all in, you know, let's ramp up, not knowing exactly where you are in the process. And by that, I mean, maybe you're not ready to sell. Maybe you're not sure you should sell. Maybe at the end of the day, you're looking at it as a possibility and would like some general advice. That's the kind of conversation I think you can have with your professional. And it usually happens around, if at all, it seems like around the time you file tax returns. I would recommend it would occur in the third quarter of the year. The end of the year, you're usually not in the state of mind that that's something you want to deal with because you're looking at year-end performance. The first quarter, you're trying to get taxes done. The second quarter, frankly, you're looking for a little relief from doing taxes and financial statements and ramping up the business. Then to be complicated, I shouldn't say complicated, but to be challenged by the fact you really need to take a vacation. So that would be what I would ask people to set aside and look at and then use as a metric for trying to determine if you're not certain about selling, when should I start thinking about those options? And again, it's probably going to be, you know, I would say August and September of every year. I do know this. If you create a process, you create a system, you bring people on board, you're going to succeed. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but it is without a doubt an absolute solution if you're in this morass. As Tony Robbins says, I don't know if any of you are fans, I remember years ago he said that they did a survey of people who in high school who were doing plans, setting goals, etc. And obviously high school is a little bit different, but he said 98% of all kids had no goals, had no plans to set out goals. But of the 2% did, they hit 100% of it. My sense always is, at least with the first set of goals, it's probably low-hanging fruit, so you can't see far enough down the road. The chances of you being successful are excellent, if not 100%. It may get more difficult as time goes on because it may not be as clear to you what the vision should be for your business. But there is no question that without a plan, you're not going to go anywhere. There are a lot of nuances, I think, that we're going to see in 2024. And I wish I had clairvoyance to guide you through each one of these. But these are the observations I, like you, look at these things. I, like you, may not be trained to understand. I, like you, am trying to figure these things out. This is my best belief, that we've come out of a situation, thanks to COVID, thanks to the issues in 2022, actually 2021, 2022, beyond COVID, including the banking issues that have come up, interest rates, inflation. I think we're back on solid footing. I don't think we're going to go backwards. I don't think we're going to have a recession. At least that's what I would like to say. I think 2024 is going to be a good year. I think it's time for all the baby boomers to begin the process of thinking, let me project out, when am I going to retire? I think 2024 is going to be that year for you to begin the process, if not sell your business. And I would be happy to help each and every one of you. I want to thank you for listening in. If you like the podcast, please, please, please go to Apple or Spotify. If you would, rate it, leave a comment. I'd greatly appreciate it. Until next time, be safe. And I want you to know that this podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice, and it is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in the podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.